If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
not.
I have sent 6 of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with 2 German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing support. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. Hey, by the way, if you want to spend 9/11 in New York City, with me, Richard Gage, Don Jeffries, Wayne McCroy, Tony Arterburn, John Brissom, and Gard Goldsmith, well, we've got the ability to make that happen for you. There's a link in the description for Free World NYC. It's Saturday, September 9th, 2023. We're going to do a presentation in New York City the weekend of 9/11. Come check it out. If you are going to be in the area, get yourself a ticket and come see us. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Thanks to Billy Ray Valentine for planning that event for all of us. Also, thanks to our sponsors, EMP Shield. My goodness, I hope you don't need it. I really do, but it's there if you want it. They are building an EMP device that is many times more efficient than single-use military design. It can handle 40-plus EMP strikes. It can handle lightning strikes, solar flares, all of these things. Some of them are very realistic possibilities. Hopefully the EMP component really isn't, but we know it's out there. We know it's a possibility. And if one goes off, we're so screwed. Like we're really back to like rubbing sticks together to start fires. So I tell you what, It's worth a look. It's worth going to EMPShield.com and taking a look, see what you think. You can get it for your home, for your car, for your motorhome or boat. If you have one of those, if you have a generator, it works for that as well. There's bundle packages. You can get a couple of them all at once, bring that price down. But just take a look. You can install it yourself. There's installation videos. It's relatively easy to do. Or you can have an electrician come out and do it for you. But I'll tell you what, go to EMPShield.com, take a look, see what you think. If you find something that you like, the promo code MACRO will most definitely save you a bunch of money on your way out. So prices start at $389. It's reasonable. It's reasonable to protect your house. My God, you know, or your car. You don't want to have to. It's going to be like Cuba, right? We're going to be all driving those 1950s cars forever because the parts don't work anymore because some asshole with an EMP shorted out the entire world, which is possible. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but EMP Shield has got you sorted out if you want to take care of that well in advance. Also, chemical-free body, been with us since the beginning. They make great supplements. They really do. Green 85 will get you going in the morning. I take that every single morning, and I have for 3 years. I appreciate Tim and the crew over there at Chemical-Free Body. Take a look. See what you think. I mean, they've got products that work. It's a good place to start, I would say, you know, considering most of the vitamin industry is so scammy and filled with grifters that, you know, you find a guy like Tim James, you hold on to him. Their products work and they've got all kinds of things, whatever you need. Pat Miletich has got his new super soldier formula that is out with them as well. Give that a shot if you're interested. I still haven't tried it. I'm planning on it though. I promise, Pat, I will try it at some point. I'm into all this stuff. So look, I know it's going to work. Because Tim's making it, so that takes some of the worry out of it. So take a look at for yourself. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. Use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save you some money. Nobody's coming to save you for your health. It's going to be up to you. So, you know, that's really what it boils down to. Have you decided that you want to get yourself healthier? If you have, then it's going to be all up to you to get yourself sorted out. But Tim and the crew over there, They've got products that actually will work. And if you need help, he's got a Health Hero podcast as well. You can check that out, or you can sign up for private sessions with Tim. He'll get you straightened out. He saved his life by changing his diet. You could probably do the same thing too if you get serious about it. So chemicalfreebody.com, promo code MACRO. Well, yeah, speaking of chemical free body, we're going to talk about something that is that's all about chemicals. Tim is against chemicals, and rightly so. But I think that we're in a new sort of weird trade war with China, and the materials that are being fought over are chemicals. And that's unfortunately where we are, because we're so dependent, not just America, but just really the world, very dependent on China for a variety of things, obviously products, but our medicines are made there. The chemicals that go into the products that we manufacture are made there as well. So China's kind of got the upper hand on the world from a manufacturing standpoint, but they also have the upper hand because they're bringing in or manufacturing the sorts of chemicals that are needed throughout the world. And if you get on the wrong side of China, well, you know, they can just cut you off from these chemicals. So again, this is why I like decentralization so much. You know, whether you're talking about crypto decentralized, or you're talking about government being decentralized, or you're talking about a supply chain, if you're pooling all of your resources in one place, say China, and they're the only one that's got it, and we're going to get into some of the rare earth minerals that they already deeply control, you know, then you're in a position where you kind of have to tolerate them. You have to work with them. If you need those materials, if you need neodymium for your electric vehicle, and it comes from one place, and China's got it, and they're the only ones that have it, they're the only ones that refine it, they're the only ones that can sell it to you, well, then let me ask you this. How hard of a stance are you going to take with China when you know that they can just say, oh, you know that thing you needed? Oh, yeah, it goes away. Oh, you need that material, Joe Biden, because you're starting the Green New Deal? Your entire administration is predicated on the Green New Deal, and there's a component for the Green New Deal that you need in order to make that a reality, and China controls it, and you're going to get it on the wrong side of China. Good luck with that. That's a dumb idea. But it's not just neodymium. I mean, there's a variety of things. We're going to get into a lot of this. We're going to get into how China is kind of covertly dipping its toes into the pharmaceutical industry and starting to quietly make some acquisitions that I think will be alarming. I think it's important to understand what's happening to us as a in America, but it's not limited to America, with the introduction of fentanyl into the equation and how that's just wiping people out. You know, hey, used to be you go to a rave and buy some pill from some dude in a bathroom, and that was kind of the risk that you take, and maybe you'd wind up in some sort of awful ketamine hole for the next 2 hours or something, but that was pretty much the downside to it. Now you could die. Right now, you could just curl up into a ball and drop dead in some nightclub somewhere because you took the wrong stuff. This is real. This is what's happening. I'd suggest it's not accidental. It's being done by design. And so we're going to get into that. Let's talk about China's chemical control over America because it's very real. And it's extremely important that we understand what we're going up against here. And I have no love for the Chinese government at all. That should hopefully go without saying. I don't like governments at all. Theirs is one of the worst representations of governments, and that's saying something. So, you know, you'll get no love for the Chinese government from me. But at the same time, I'm also not of the belief that everything bad that happens in this world is China's fault. A lot of times, you know, you have to recognize the playing field, and America has to take a look at China and get honest about what their role is, what China's role is in this world economy. And the fact that they're the manufacturing hub of this planet is undeniable. And when you're the manufacturing hub, that means that you usually have a lot of the raw materials that are used in the manufacturing process, and that includes chemicals. Okay, so it's fine if you have a good relationship with this group, China, or this, let's just say, the company of China that has all the products that you need. You know, if you have a good relationship with them and they can get you the products that you need on time, consistently, through the supply chain, for a cheap price, and you don't have to worry too much about whether or not it's going to be there, then your relationship with China is just fine. It's actually the way it's been for most of the world over the last 25 years. You know, you depend on China to make those low-cost TVs, and they deliver. You know, maybe there's a little supply chain shortage on Black Friday when you have to stab an old lady in order to get your hands on a $300 70-inch television, but sometimes you just have to stab the old lady, right? That's what we've been taught in America. Black Friday, anything goes. You know, get those elbows up. You know, get your mouth guard in and your elbows up and go hard in the paint. And if you have to knock out people in the process, well, we were told that that's America, right? That's America. Get in there and get those products for as cheap as you can. You want a $2 can opener? You might have to punch somebody out. That's just the way it goes. But China's always been very consistent about making sure that we have this. And it hasn't been a problem because we have a very nice little relationship going. We buy cheap products from them and they buy treasury bills from us. And so we keep this sort of game of using the dollar's influence to keep this scam going. We've used it with Saudi Arabia. Obviously, China plays a role in this as well, with the understanding that they're going to devalue their currency so that we can buy things cheaper from them and keep this whole game going. But the game is coming to an end. I don't know if you've heard, but the clown music coming from the White House, it turns off every now and then. And they remove a chair from this musical chairs game that the Biden administration is playing. And then when you hear that clown music come back on, you start in that circle again. You start walking in a circle, but you know they're going to pull another chair out. You just don't know when, and you don't know which one it is. My fear is that the chair that they're going to pull out is the China one. And when they do that, I don't think that this administration has really thought through the ramifications of that, because they're too busy worrying about what pronouns the general is going to have who's ordering you into a continued war in Ukraine that's going nowhere. So they're focused on pronouns. We're focused on actual problems. And look, China's building a backdoor into America while everybody is focused on the wrong thing. So let's talk about what they're doing, and let's talk about one of the acquisitions that they quietly made, and you probably didn't hear about it on your nightly news. Are you familiar with the company Syngenta? You should be. They're an agri-giant just like Monsanto. In fact, I would describe them as like Monsanto's cousin, okay? Just as bad, just as devious, just as deeply involved in making poisons and genetically modified organisms and pesticides that will definitely kill you. They're making seeds, they're making GMOs, they're making pesticides. That's their thing. That's part of what they do. Well, China wound up getting this backdoor into America by default, not in America itself, but by actually going to Basel, Switzerland, and the home of the evil Bank for International Settlements, but also the home of Syngenta AG. So let's talk a little bit about what this is and what this means that China, China's making moves. So there's agricultural science and technology is what Syngenta is into. They make seeds, they make pesticides, they make GMOs. They're into a lot of things. And if you if you've heard that commercial for BASF, which is a German chemical company, it says, we don't make a lot of the things you buy, we make a lot of the things you buy better, right? So they're the company that makes the chemicals that go into the things that you buy. That's BASF. That's a German conglomerate that's like Syngenta. Well, Syngenta does as well. Syngenta makes a lot of the things that you buy. They make a lot of chemicals that you buy. So it was sold to a company called ChemChina in February of 2016 for $43 billion. Now, ChemChina is a state-owned Chinese chemical company. Okay. So you may have a businessy name of ChemChina, but you can just replace that with the Chinese Communist Party. The CCP owns this company, and this company now owns Syngenta. So what does that mean? Well, it means that China just got into the genetically modified organism game in a big, big way with this acquisition. And I don't think it's accidental. And I think that they are making moves several years in advance by doing this. Look, self-preservation may be part of this. You're trying to feed over, a billion and a half people. You're going to have some sort of advances in crop technology. Now, I personally am against genetically modified organisms, genetically not modified foods. So that's not the direction I would go. But if you're the Chinese government, I mean, how much do you actually respect your people? Zero, right? Pretty much zero. You welded them into their apartment complexes in a variety of cities because of a virus with a 99.98% survivability rate. So you clearly don't give a shit about your people. I think that's understood. But you do need to feed them. Right. So you need to keep them just barely alive with the food so that they're not revolting, but not so healthy that they're feeling good enough about this potential revolt that they're actually going to see it all the way through. No, you keep them filled with genetically modified organisms, and it keeps them dumb and docile and weak and unable to make moves. And now China owns seed technology. Isn't that interesting? So all the bad things that you thought about Monsanto, you can put Syngenta in the same category. They're just as bad. But all the bad things you thought about Monsanto, at least Monsanto wasn't owned by the Chinese government. But now Syngenta is. So you can just extrapolate out and take all of the fears that you would have had with Monsanto and say, well, what would happen if the CCP was in charge of this? You go, oh my God, it'd be like 100 times worse. Can you imagine? Well, you're about to. you're about to be able to imagine that. So what else does Syngenta do? Well, they make agrochemicals, okay? Agricultural chemicals, meaning pesticides and the like. They make rubber products. They make specialty chemicals that we need for a variety of things. And they are involved in petrochemical processing, not just for civilians, but also for the military. So they are deeply involved in blurring the lines between commercial use and military use of their for their petrochemical processing. That's going to become extra handy with regard to the Chinese government because, well, there already is no line between the military and civilian with them since they're all sort of part of the same group. So this is going to work out. This is going to work out well. So let's talk a little bit about how Syngenta came to be, because it's important to, I don't know, maybe understand who they are, like what, you know, what their background is, because then it might, you might be able to understand why China would want to get their hands on them. In 2000, there was a merger of the agricultural businesses of Novartis and AstraZeneca, and that became Syngenta, the blending of Novartis and AstraZeneca together. In 2020, they rebranded as Syngenta Group, and they are now fully owned by a Chinese state-owned chemical company. So it's now a Chinese company, and all the things that go along with that, meaning that top-down authoritarian control. This isn't something that your board of directors is going to vote you out of. This is something that the Chinese party is going to tell you what you make and how you make it and how much you make of it. And more importantly, who you sell it to or who you don't sell it to. Right. So there's going to be a lot of need for this to stay internal in China. Obviously, they're going to need the agrochemicals and everything that comes along with this. This was kind of a no-brainer purchase for them. If you've got $43 billion laying around and you can pick up one of these companies right now, now's the time to do it. So let's see. Guess what else Syngenta owned? Because this I think is going to be a place where we need to go. You allow your little conspiratorial mind to fly away on this one, because if you recall correctly, and we've done pretty extensive coverage of the Svalbard Global Seed Vault in, it's in Norway. It's 1,100 kilometers south of the North Pole. It is 400 feet up a mountain and 300 feet inside the mountain, drilled out this vault in which they are storing. They have the capacity to hold 4.5 million seed samples. That's the maximum storage. They've got several million in there already, so they're not totally full, but they have the ability to be full pretty soon. And once that is completed, it's going to hold not just 4.5 million seeds, but seed samples. And these samples come in packages of, I think, roughly 500 seeds per package. So they've got the natural seeds squirreled away up in this evil Bond villain layer, drilled into a mountain outside of the Arctic Circle. So, you know, it's already sort of got the makings of a very secretive place. But do you know who financed it? Do you know who's in charge of the seed vault? Well, you know the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is involved, because we've talked about that plenty of times. They partnered with the Rockefeller Foundation on this one because, you know, why bring one group of psychopaths to the party when you can bring both? And so the Rockefeller Foundation, which is essentially the United Nations, is involved in this seed vault as well, along with the Norwegian government. It's in Norway. It's technically in Norway. So the Norwegian government got involved. And the fourth party is Syngenta. So Syngenta is involved with the seed vault, where they're hiding away all of these natural seeds away from us, the plebs, where we're not able to access them. We're supposed to eat crickets and bugs and genetically modified organisms, where the real seeds are hidden away from us in a place where we're never going to get to them. But now China's involved. So if your purchase of this was to just get yourself a chemical company to add to your consortium of chemical companies, well, then I guess, you know, good job. But as a bonus, what China gets is they get access to the seed vault as well, because Syngenta is one of the four partners. So what is that now? What are the ramifications of the Chinese being involved in the seed vault? Like, how does that make you feel? Do you have any sort of energy one way or the other against the Chinese people? It's not the people necessarily. It's obviously the government. But we know how they feel. They have no problem starving people to death. We saw that during the Great Leap when Mao killed off, I don't know, any reports are up to 73 million people died during Mao's cultural revolution and this Great Leap and all of the things that were parts of this. And 20 to 30 million were said to have been killed by starvation. So the Chinese know a thing or two about the importance of food, and they know that they don't have some sort of moral hang up about starving to death large segments of their population. So now they're involved in the seed business. They have seed tech and they own part of the seed vault. So what does that do for World War III? You know, what does that make, how does that make you feel about the direction that we're going? What is this? We've got, let's look at who's involved in the seed vault. Bill Gates, the Chinese Communist Party, the world government Rockefellers, and all the United Nations people, and they have access to all the seeds. So what do they have planned, right? I don't know. It's not good. And I think that it's important for people to recognize that, the globalists are now, if you were ever wondering, like they're partnered up with the Chinese, and the Chinese are starting to get picky about who they sell rare earth minerals to. So let's get into that a little bit, because this is a big one for us. Nobody's really talking about it, because rare earth minerals are not as exciting as domestic terrorists, I guess. In my mind, they're not. But I think they're important, so let's talk about it. There are restrictions on the exportation of certain rare earth minerals from China now due to, well, two reasons. First is internal demand for these. If you've got access to the supply of certain rare earth minerals that nobody else has, and you need them, good for you, now you have access to them. But there's a two-pronged approach to this. First, you've got them, and that's great for you in your mining, manufacturing, and refining industries. But also, now you've got to keep an eye out on who you sell it to. Because if this is a rare earth mineral, note the word rare, then not everybody has access to it. And if somebody needs it and you've got it, then you have the upper hand in this transaction. So the question is, what happens if you're China and you've got these rare earth minerals and your new enemy, the United States, is trying to buy them from you? What would you do? Would you sell them to the United States? I wouldn't. If I did, it would be priced at a level that I could get over the fact that I was selling to my enemy then, I guess. But I think that from a strategic standpoint, there's reasons to hold back. Now, it's one thing if the rare earth minerals that you desire in the United States are used for some obscure product that you're trying to manufacture, like, I don't know, something that goes on a diamond tipped blade that you're trying to manufacture and you need this one rare earth element and they just won't sell it to you. You know, it'd be a real pain in the butt and you probably wouldn't be able to make that product. But let me ask you this. What if your entire ideology is dependent on this, and the Green New Deal, the Biden administration's baby, about how we're all going to get into electric cars and we're going to ditch internal combustion engines and we're going to move to wind power and we're going to move to solar power and we're going to move to all these green technologies. And yet the one component that you need for the green technologies is being held by a country that you've always had pretty good relationships with. Hell, you helped build them. But now you're on the wrong side with them. Now you're having problems where there is a real possibility, I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but there is a real possibility that at some point you might wind up in a war against this country, China. So what kind of a strategic moron do you have to be to start a fight with the people that you depend on? Well, that's what the Biden administration is doing. And guess what? The Chinese have answered that question because they have now stopped the sale of three different materials that the United States desperately needs for their manufacturing capacity. That first one on the list is gallium. It's used for superconductivity for computer chips and LED displays. Okay. LED, you know, we might be getting into the television world here. You could make a case that, LEDs are needed, but not the most necessary thing. And we could probably live without LED monitors and things like that. It'd be a pain in the ass. And I'm sure there's a lot that we do need them for that we haven't really thought out, or I certainly haven't thought out, but you know, whatever. LEDs, not the biggest thing on the list, but computer chips. Yeah, we're going to need those. We need those now. We have a very big need for those. You saw what happened during COVID when we had issues with supply chain and the cars were coming off the manufacturing line and they were just sitting there. They had nowhere to go because they still needed computer chips and we weren't able to get them for a variety of reasons. So we most definitely need computer chips, and China's not the only one that makes them. The United States makes them. Taiwan makes them. Some places in Southeast Asia make them. But we need them badly. And gallium is integral for the superconductivity for computer chips. And China just said, we're not selling them to you. So that's a problem. But it's going to get worse because number two on the list is germanium. And this gets used mostly in the solar industry. So for Joe Biden's wet dream about everybody driving an electric car that's being charged by solar powers that are panels that are sitting on their house, you can get that dream out of your head, because the material that is needed for the solar industry comes from China, and China says, we're not selling it to you anymore. They have now put, quote, official permission is needed now. So it's required in order for China to ship these. So you can't just be a company that manufactures this and refines it and then exports it. You have to now get official permission from the Chinese government if you're one of these companies, and they will tell you who you can sell it to. And if it's the United States, guess what? You don't have permission. So that's going to be a problem. What about neodymium? We mentioned that at the beginning. And we've mentioned this before. This is integral to the green pivot that the Biden administration, that the World Economic Forum, that the United Nations wants to get on board with. They have to have this rare earth mineral. It is used for powerful magnets. It is used for cell phone, the vibration in your cell phone it needs this material, and also for missile guidance systems. So kind of an important thing. It comes from one place in the world, and that is China. China is also the number one place to refine it, which is, I think, handy since it comes from China as well. But even if you were to find little bits of it in Australia or in America, in the American Southwest, you wouldn't be able to refine it. You'd have to send it to China for them to refine it and then send it back to you. So again, they're not interested in doing this. They've got gallium, germanium, and neodymium that America needs, and China has just now said, well, you know, all this talk about World War III and all this talk about your president, your pant-shitting president, Joe Biden, calling our dictator Xi, calling Xi a dictator, you know, during an event in California, you know, you have to be careful about what you call the other guy's president, because if the other guy is in charge of the materials that you need and he has himself a bad day and decides he doesn't want to deal with you anymore because you've insulted him in front of his entire population, Well, then he just turns off the spigot and no more gallium, germanium, neodymium, or whatever comes out of China. Maybe at some point, computer chips as well. Though they kind of make like the lower quality, but still, your Wi-Fi toaster talking to your Wi-Fi refrigerator is going to need all that stuff, right? So again, don't piss off the guy that's in charge of all the stuff that you need. But that's what Joe Biden and his administration are doing because I don't think that they're thinking this through. Or maybe they are, and their plan is to destroy America from the inside, which is really, I think, part of this. But piss off your number one supplier of the number one things that you need. Good job. Great idea. This an idea so stupid, it sounds like it came from Kamala Harris. Well, what about Taiwan in this whole endeavor as well? They play a role in this. They're a chip maker. You know that. They're one of the best at making chips too. They're also, they're also thrown into this as a political hot potato. There's talk of, one China policy and where do we stand and who's the United States ally and what are we doing to protect Taiwan? And what if China tries to take Taiwan? Well, what if China tries to take Taiwan? What's America going to do? Stand up and get into a war with them? Well, you could. But again, we just mentioned the three materials that are already not coming your way. There will be more. The list will be very long. The iPhone that you have in your pocket, good luck buying that on the black market in the future because maybe they don't ship them. I mean, Apple's already started to pivot to Vietnam to make a lot of the parts because they don't trust the direction things are going with China. So China's countermeasures for the technical restrictions would be just the restriction of access to these needed materials. So as long as there's a green agenda, you're going to need access to these materials. And as long as you make China mad, they're not going to grant you access to it. It's very easy to understand. There's nothing too complicated about this concept. It's just that the question becomes, is the Biden administration really this incompetent or are they doing this on purpose? Either way, I suppose it's not going to make too much of a difference because we're going to wind up at the same place, which is without the materials that we need because we got on the wrong side of the country that controls all of them. Supply chain dependency creates issues for foreign policy when the economic interests take over, exceed that. So we have economic interests that dwarf our foreign policy interests. Without these materials coming in, who cares what our foreign policy is? We're not going to have the ability to get our medicines from China. We're not going to be able to get our antibiotics from them. So we've got some bigger problems that we're going to have to think about here. And look, let's, not for nothing. Let's talk about the role of the BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa conglomerate of countries that represent 40% of the world's population, 25% of the world's GDP, China being the linchpin in this whole thing. And they're talking about expanding BRICS from 5 countries to 13. And they're talking about creating a new currency in order to pivot away from the dollar. So imagine this scenario, a scenario in which you wish you could buy neodymium on the open market, but they won't take dollars anymore. So now you have to convert your dollars into whatever the new BRICS currency is, and then use that to purchase your rare earth minerals. It would be like the petrodollar arrangement that the United States and Saudi Arabia have had for 50 years, but instead of it being pegged to oil, this could be pegged to rare earth minerals backed by the BRICS. If you did that, now you'd be in a situation where you were creating artificial value for a new version of a currency, and that always gets you attacked. You always get bombs and democracy dropped on you from a C-130 cargo transport flying over Libya or Iraq, or whoever decides that they want to have some fantasy about pivoting away from the US dollar. So, but it's the loss of faith in the US dollar is, it has a ripple effect, as the great Ricky Verandas would say. You know, it leads to other things. When you lose faith in the US dollar, and that confidence starts to crater, then people start to look for other things. It creates a debt spiral, you know, where the debt become, it starts to compound on itself. You can't pull out fast enough. And next thing you know, you're buying loaves of bread filled with wheelbarrows filled with US dollars because it's just not worth anything anymore. And that crash of the economy, I would say, is, you know, it presents a massive opportunity for these BRICS countries to watch the an American economic collapse. Everyone will be impacted. We know that, but still, if your enemy is America and you're looking to take them down, just sort of hanging out on the sidelines waiting for the American economy to collapse is probably, you know, it's probably what some of these countries are thinking of. Let's talk about America's China addiction, because, you know, we need them. We like to pretend like we don't, but we do. And we need them for a variety of things too. You know, I mean, it's not just the, you know, it's not just the chemicals that we need. It's not just that we need them to buy our debt. It's not just that we need them to continue to make toasters for us and all this stuff. I mean, we need them for other things as well. They are, for better or for worse, they are creating a new opium war with us. It's like the opium war in reverse. No, they were on the wrong end of this with the British Empire 200 years ago, and it sunk the Chinese culture for a century. Their dependence on drugs, their dependence on opium. And so we watched how the British not just enslaved the Chinese, but also profited handsomely from them at the same time. And that is, of course, an extremely devious thing to do. But now it seems like the Chinese are turning this around and maybe coming back and using this against us here in the United States. Because guess where fentanyl is coming from? It's coming from China. Okay. It's undeniable that it's coming from China. It's going to Mexico. It's coming up through the southern border, and it's being provided to anybody that wants it. And listen, if you, you know, we've got 70,601 dead Americans in the year 2021 just from fentanyl. 70,000 people. That's a, you can fill up, you know, you can get, that's a fairly full stadium at a football game of just dead people from fentanyl. That's in 2021 alone. It doubled from the year before, and it doubled from the year before that. So we're now in a position where not only is fentanyl pouring in, it's coming in at an incremental level. It's doubling every year and coming in terms of the amount of people that it's killing. God knows how much of it is also just kind of coming in and getting spread out throughout. Obviously, through the heroin community, you're starting to see that get sprinkled in there, but it's turning up in everything. It's turning up in all kinds of drugs that aren't normally carriers of fentanyl, where you'll find it in ecstasy, or you'll find it in ketamine, or you'll find it sprinkled on marijuana. I mean, holy shit, that's just a really bad idea. And so we have to be very, you know, aware of an opium war in reverse. And I think that that's kind of where we are. I mean, it's undeniable that it's coming from China. And, you know, it's different than cocaine, because like when you thought about cocaine coming up from South America, specifically Colombia and the likes, and coming into America, you understood that there was like, well, you know, there's partying going on and there's some addictions and everything. And you can understand why there was a ton of demand for it. But fentanyl's different. The demand for fentanyl is because you've just gotten as high as you can get off of heroin, and you need a boost. You need something more. You need something to kick that up into higher drive. And what's happening is that if you're wrong about cocaine, you become a cocaine addict. If you're wrong about fentanyl, you're dead. So that's kind of the place where we are now. It's taken a much darker turn than just something, you know, than just another country supplying drugs to America. This drug is different. And by the way, fentanyl is the beginning. There's newer versions of that that are even more powerful. So we're going to get to a point where everything is contaminated, potentially with fentanyl. And if you're unlucky enough to step on that landmine, you're done. And that's, that's a problem. So China's, we have to keep our eye on China for that. We're addicted to China in that sort of weird sense. But listen, I'll tell you where we're really addicted to China on. We're addicted to their production of pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, America's a deeply unhealthy country. Physically, obviously, our ailments are everywhere. Mentally, we're just at the verge of insanity here. And so, and people are sick, they take medicine. People are crazy, they take medicine. People are unhappy or sad, they take medicine. People are trying to, they're taking medicine to impact the other medicines that they're taking. So they're taking medicines on top of medicines. I mean, I think I saw that like the average American is on like 8 different prescription drugs. Get off of your prescription drugs, for God's sake. See if there is a way to go a different route than just defaulting to the pharmaceutical industry. Because listen, Americans are hooked on petroleum-based, Rockefeller pill-based medications, and those come from China. 93% of prescription drugs come from China. Get on the wrong side of China, and China cuts off the supply of prescription drugs. Now, in one hand, good. We need to get away from this addiction to prescription drugs. On the other hand, you have to be very careful about how that happens, about how you reduce your dependency. Listen, if you're strung out on benzos and you detox too quickly, it will kill you, okay? Talk to Jordan Peterson, or look at the Jordan Peterson situation where he went to Russia and he was there for 6 months trying to detox off of this. This is no joke. You can't go cold turkey off of benzos. It's not a matter of like, I'm strong enough to beat this addiction. There are physical downsides to this. Now, again, I'm not a licensed doctor, so do all your own research. That should go without saying, but you can look this up. But coming off of benzos too quickly is a death sentence. So you have to sort of slowly do that. If China turns the tap off on that, we're going to have a lot of people that are dying as they are detoxing. They're dying. But what about SSRI drugs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors? These are the ones that you give to people if they are severely depressed, or if you want them to go shoot up a school in a couple of months. You give them SSRIs because it turns people crazy. It takes crazy people, makes them feel better for a little while. It takes non-crazy people and makes them completely unhinged. It is, they're dangerous. So obviously they're dangerous for psychological reasons, but again, it's dangerous if you take people off of their medications all at once as well. So, that's something to consider. It's one thing if China makes an announcement that over the next 10 years, we intend to slow down our exportation of pharmaceutical drugs to you by 10% a year. That'd be one thing. We could sort of like bridge that gap, make up for it, plan accordingly, get people weaned off of this stuff, and start that process. If China just wakes up tomorrow and decides they're not selling us any more prescription drugs, there's only so much that India can make to cover that gap. There's only so much that America can make. In fact, America makes almost none of it. So we would be, again, we'd be in a real trap. But did I mention BRICS? Brazil, Russia, India, China? I mean, India could cut off the supply as well. They could get together, part of the BRICS designation is that they just all stop selling their pharmaceuticals to us. Now it's all gone. Because if China's not making it, India is, and they don't make that much. But if they make the decision that they're cutting off our medicine, 97% of American antibiotics are made in China. So maybe, don't threaten to bomb China back to the Stone Ages, you retards, because they make the stuff that we need. They make the antibiotics that we need. They make the prescription drugs that we need. Yeah, they make televisions and things like that. We may think that we need them. We could do without, or we could find some workarounds, but you can't find the workarounds for antibiotics, not right away. So we're talking about some very necessary materials. We're talking about some luxury items like televisions and the like. But you know what? We're also talking about the most addictive substance known to man that comes out of China. It's not fentanyl. It's not heroin. It's not cocaine. It's none of those things. You know what it is? It's smartphones. That's what it is. And they come from China. And the tablets come from China as well. So what happens to Americans if all of a sudden they just decide to stop selling us smartphones and tablets and computers? Okay. Now, would that be brand suicide for a lot of these manufacturers? Of course it would be. But if it was a war, and if it was a war that took a variety of different shapes and sizes, not necessarily a hot war, but it was a trade war, it was a product embargo war, it was a financial war, it was all of these things. It was an information war. It was an EMP strike that went off. It was a withholding, a disruption of the supply chain. Wars on the battlefield with trenches and chemicals going off and all that, that's so 1913, you know what I mean? This is a new sort of war. If you want to see what happens in World War III or World War IV, if Alex Jones has any say in it, then this is an information war. It's a trade war. It's product war. It's a supply chain war. It's all of these things when you get dependent on an external source for your internal machinery to run smoothly. You better make sure you have a great relationship with that external source. Because if things go wrong, even if you have a great relationship, things can get messy, wars can break out, supply chains can get disrupted, access to raw materials can get overrun by the wrong people. You know, all these things are possible. So the idea of spreading yourself out with this very long supply chain that has a lot of different links in it, well, it's great if it works. You know, it's not so great if it doesn't work. It's not so great if you have a situation where one side is threatening the other side. So that's something that we need to think about. I mean, what will America do if China decides that they don't want to sell you the technology that you've grown accustomed to having, or you need for your business, or you need for your schooling, or you need for whatever? So this is the reality here, right? So I wonder, though, you know, it makes me think, like, we've got these chemical companies in America, right? What did America do with IG Farben? After World War II, what did we do with it? We take possession of it. I mean, we know about Operation Paperclip. We know we took a lot of their scientists. Did we take enough of their scientists that they can make this stuff in America? Probably not. You know, it doesn't seem like it. Let's not forget about this. America is not China's favorite trade partner anymore. I mean, we do a lot of business with them. We buy a lot of stuff. They buy a lot of our debt, and they have for a while. But that's changing. China has pivoted to Africa. You might have noticed, we've talked about the Belt and Road Initiative here a few times. You had John Perkins on. He wrote a book, the third version of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, has to do with the Chinese economic hitman working in South America and Africa. So these are places that we need to take a look. I mean, America used to be the priority, but what if, you know, you're building out rail infrastructure and you need... And you need some of that materials to go to Africa instead of Athens, Georgia. You know, instead you get it in, it winds up making a detour and heading somewhere else because, you know, the investment opportunities are so much greater working in Africa. Oh, and by the way, who's got the raw materials? Well, Africa has a lot of raw materials too. So instead of America saying, all right, well, we're in the process of burning this bridge with our biggest raw material supplier in China for what we need, maybe we should start developing some backup plans with nations in Africa or nation, you know, some other lesser known countries that we can do deals with, and we can have that as sort of a backup supply. America hasn't done that. China has done that. China has all the supply of this, and they're making deals with Africa and South America to get the things that they don't have access to. So they're doing everything the right way, meaning they're shoring up their materials, their raw material base. They're putting deals in place. They're building out a ton of rail infrastructure. I don't know if you saw the recent map of what China's been doing in Africa with the rail system. From ports inland, it's everywhere. They're spending that money. You know, it's an investment that is going to probably pay off. If for no other reason, it's just going to allow them to diversify their materials base so that it's not just coming from them. It's not just coming from the BRICS countries, Russia and India, where they buy a lot of raw materials, but it's now also they've developed the new partnerships and not just developed the partnerships in Africa, but they have built in the infrastructure that allows them to extract the materials out of the ground in Africa, something that they knew they were there, but it's not, you know, it's easier said than done to just pull them out and then get them anywhere. So the infrastructure had to go in. China's doing that. So we're really dropping the ball in a variety of ways here, but you know, there here's something to consider as we kind of wrap this up. Because America is so dependent on Chinese chemicals and rare earth materials, it forces the government to look the other way when Chinese spy balloons fly across your country for an entire week, or while the Chinese Communist Party buys up a bunch of American farmland right alongside Bill Gates. You know, we're supposed to pretend like that's not happening. Or when the CCP creates police stations inside America to spy on Chinese citizens in places like New York City and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Houston and Minnesota. So, like, what are we doing? You know, when you depend on them for all of the things that you need, how hard can you crack the whip when you need to tell them to stop doing what they're doing? The answer is, if you're the Biden administration, you can't crack the whip at all. You send Anthony Blinken up to Alaska to have a meeting with the Chinese and tell the Chinese how it's all going to be, and I'm going to send my top guy up there, Anthony Blinken, and he got run out of the room by the Chinese. They just simply wouldn't deal with him. They wouldn't listen to him. He's a clown. You can't tell them shit. Again, they just say, oh, you mean these chemicals that you need? These rare earth minerals that you guys need? Oh, they go away the minute we hear you talk about anything. So if we want to fly spy balloons over the United States, you know what I want you to do? I want you to defend us and make up stories to the media and tell the media that it's not a big deal when it is. You've got them by the balls, especially when the Biden administration is literally doing business with them. The Biden family is doing business with the Chinese. Again, this all gets very murky. I'm not coming at this from a Republican side of things. I have just as much contempt for those people as well. But the Biden family and the Chinese Communist Party are in business together in case you just fell off a turnip truck or something. It's really happening. This is what's going on. The Biden administration plans to spend over $500 billion on this clean energy circle jerk fantasy that they're having over just the next decade. But none of it happens without China's chemicals and rare earth minerals. It just doesn't happen. It all comes to a screeching halt. Might not be the worst thing. We know the green transition is a joke. We know that there are forces at work here that will try to bridge that gap to make sure that the green energy transition happens, because the Build Back Better formula is a key for world government and they desperately need that. So you know that everything will be tried. But I mean, you don't have to be a CEO that with an MBA from Harvard to understand that if you piss off the administration that is in charge of all of the things that you need, while you're simultaneously telling the general public that you're about to spend $500 billion to build out all these things, all these green ideas, you better damn well have your resources covered. This is like business 101, okay? Apparently, the Biden administration, they don't know what they're doing. So who's really in charge? I mean, really, is China in charge? Is their asset Joe Biden in charge? He doesn't look like he's in charge of much of anything. You know, you want to have this green transition, and yet 3/4 of solar panels come from China. What are we going to do about this? Have you thought about that, guys? Have you retards even thought about this? That you're pushing for a solar future for America, and 75% of the solar panels come from your now sworn enemy. Are we going to have the adult conversation about this, or are we just going to play make believe? Or is in Joe Biden's mind, we're going to invade China and we're going to take all their resources like we tried to do in Afghanistan? We couldn't beat a bunch of farmers. You think you can beat 1.7 billion Chinese people that are angry that you're in their country? I mean, this is nonsense, of course. Wind turbines, a linchpin of Joe Biden's green agenda. They all come from China. All of them. The materials that you need for them and the materials that you need to make them out of, they all come from China. So what are we doing? Lithium ion batteries. Perhaps you've heard of them. Necessary for electric vehicles, right? 76% of lithium ion batteries come from China. 8% come from the United States. Again, the batteries you need are in China. The solar panels you need are in China. The wind turbines you need are in China. The rare earth minerals that you need are in China. The chemicals that you need are in China. And Joe Biden is threatening World War III with China. It's a problem. We should have known this was coming. When the World Trade Organization let China in 2001, it really sort of fueled this dependency. Before that, if you took a look at like the percentage of the demand for chemicals adds up to 100%. Okay. Back in the 80s, the demand for chemicals by North America was 27%. It's been slipping. The demand for chemicals in North America has gone from 27% in the 80s to 18% in the 90s to 2% now. We have almost no demand for chemicals in the United States. Now, you would think that we had a huge demand for it. And I guess you would be partially right. We do have a demand for chemicals, but we have a demand for the finished product of the products that were made by the chemicals, not the chemicals themselves. We're not doing the manufacturing. Remember NAFTA? Remember when Bill Clinton signed that piece of shit and it gutted America and it destroyed the middle class and it outsourced 50,000 factory jobs instantaneously to Asia and Mexico? You remember that? That's the reason why we've gone from 27% North American demand for chemicals to 2%. Because we don't make anything anymore. Would you like to know what the China numbers are? In the 80s, the demand for chemicals in China was 9% of the market. In the 90s, after NAFTA, it jumped to 35% of the market. You know where it is now? 67% of all chemicals needed on this planet Earth go to China. 2/3. China's demand for chemicals is 67% right now. America's is 2. We demand chemicals from China, so China demands that America does what it's told. I guess it goes back to that old adage, right? It used to be, he who has the gold makes the rules, right? But since we don't use gold anymore, gold is a barbarous relic. I guess what it is these days is, he who has the chemicals makes the rules. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Rate the show. If you think I've done a good job, I certainly could use the algorithm help. Give me a 5-star rating, write a little blurb about it. If you want to connect with me, the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, Twitter at macroaggressions, Instagram at macroaggressions podcast. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.